Testing, testing. Good morning, everybody. Sorry to break up all the fun. Hi. I can tell that. We need somebody that really knows how to whistle really loud. All right, to start out this morning, we have a young lady whose birthday it is today. Joan, happy birthday. I think we should embarrass her by singing to her. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Joan, happy birthday to you. I embarrass you that way, I don't feel quite so embarrassed being up here. Thanks for helping me out. 16 again? All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to have everybody here on this beautiful sunny Sunday morning. Before we get started, the message today is on authentic Christianity, and I want to pray first. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for being such a loving and merciful Father. I pray that you will just calm me. I pray that you will use me. I am your tool to speak the words that you want me to speak, and just help me to disappear and let them hear you, Lord. We ask and say this in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. Amen. So like I said, this morning is on authentic Christianity. As a church, we do very well, a church abroad, we do very well about evangelizing, bringing people to Jesus, telling people about Jesus. But then once we bring them, we kind of are lacking on how are we supposed to live, you know? Sad to say, we're kind of like the how the birds, you know, do it. You know, mama bird and daddy bird feed the baby birds, get them all raised up, and then when it's time to fly, they pretty much go, kick them out of the nest, and as they go down, they say, hey, watch out for the cat. You know? And that's kind of the way we are. Where it says, hey, you got Jesus in your life. Great, go live to be a Christian. Oh, watch out for that lion who's roaring around seeking whom he can devour. And we don't really explain it. Colossians 3 explains how you're supposed to live in a Christian home. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught how we're supposed to live. So some of these things are what I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, this is the message this morning. It's supposed to hit the Christians hard. If you're a non-believer, it's not so much pointed at you. How do you know? Well, Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. That's it. That's what it means. Doesn't mean that you have to be baptized. Doesn't mean you have to do this. You don't. That's it. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have done that, great. If you haven't, there is a bunch of us here. We'd love to talk to you. Come and see me afterwards. We'd love to talk to you, okay? If you have done that, this message is for you. Have you made a decision for Jesus? Or do you have a relationship with Jesus? What am I talking about there? What's the difference? Well, the difference is in John 3, Nicodemus, he was one of the Pharisees, came to Jesus at night to ask Jesus about questions. He was making a decision for Jesus. Okay? Have you made a decision to Jesus? You're one of those, you know, hide-in-the-dark Christians? Or do you have a relationship with Jesus? Later on, Nicodemus, same guy, John chapter 7, Jesus is being accused and stuff, and Nicodemus stands up for him and says, hey, we can't do this. But the problem is when you're an authentic Christian, you're going to be ridiculed. That's what they said to Nicodemus. What are you, from Galilee or something? Which doesn't sound like that bad. But back then, that was a huge slam. Okay? So in the Bible it says, if you follow me, you will have troubles in this life. So if you have got if you have that relationship with Jesus, be prepared. It's not going to be all peaches and cream. You're going to have trials. And each and every one of us who has made that decision for Jesus is going to have that time in your life where you have to get off the fence. If you're a dark Christian, you know, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I don't really want anybody to know. There is going to be something in your life. God's going to bring something in your life where you have to decide. Just warning you. If it hasn't happened, guaranteed it will. Without intimacy, without that relationship with Jesus, we don't have the real knowledge of Jesus. But if you have that intimate relationship with Jesus, the knowledge automatically comes. It's automatically there. So we have to work on the intimate relationship with Jesus. Matthew 15, verse 8. This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want to be like the Pharisees who honor Jesus and says, oh man, we're great, we're great, we're great Christians. But their hearts weren't anywhere close to it. They missed Jesus completely. Jesus came and was in front of them all the time, and they crucified him for being a false Messiah. On Luke 7, there's the flip side. Most of us know that story where the Pharisees invite Jesus. There's this great big banquet and everything, and everybody's, you know, having this great time, and this prostitute comes in. She washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries it with her hair. And the Pharisees are like, what are you letting her in here for? Come on. She had to be really brave to go in there. This is like, you know, somebody from Skid Row going to a CEO meeting, you know? That's what it was like for her to go in there. She had to be so stressed out and so, but it didn't matter to her. It was her Lord and Savior. She came to him and wept on his feet. When was the last time that you cried to Jesus? When you poured it all out to him? When you got saved? When you had a big trial in your life? Jesus wants that intimate relationship. He wants us to come and pour everything at his feet every day. Are we doing that? Another question. Is Jesus number one in your life? Or is he the one and only in your life? What's the difference? Well, think about your spouse. Does your spouse want to be the number one in your life and you can continue to keep dating? Or does your spouse want to be the one and only in your life? I can guarantee you my wife wouldn't like it if I started dating. It wouldn't go well. She doesn't want to be number one in my life. She wants to be the one and only in my life. That's what Jesus wants too. He wants to be the only one in your life, not number one. Luke 14. It was a passage that it was kind of hard to me hard for me to understand until I looked at it in this light. If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife, his children, even his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus? I mean, what, hate? It wasn't translated very well. It was kind of a hard word to translate in English language. It translates just like how my wife wants to be. Everything else pales in comparison. She's not number one in my life. She's the only one in my life. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus doesn't want to be number one. You know, I put you above my parents. I put you above my kids. That's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants to be way out of the... He is the only thing in your life. And then we can have one, two, and three down here. But Jesus isn't number one. He is the only thing that matters. That's what that passage means. And it was hard for them to translate that in English. So they put it, well, if you don't hate them, but it's more like a comparison. You're supposed to love Jesus so much that everything else just pales in comparison. So how do you know if Jesus is the center of your life? Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. The translation for money is kind of a weak translation. Worldly things would be a better translation. What do you spend your money on? Your checkbook kind of tells you what's the most important thing in your life. What do you sacrifice your time for? That kind of tells what's the most important thing in your life. Is it God? When you are hurt and you need to be comforted, where do you go? Do you go to the refrigerator? Do you go to alcohol? Do you go to drugs? Do you go watch sports or TV or something to be entertained? Do you go to family or friends? Who do you go to when you need something to decompress? That kind of tells you what's the most important in your life. What disappoints you and frustrates you? Is it your spouse? Is it your kids? Is it yourself? Is it that guy that drives 25 along the river and then 65 up Big Sandy? Oh, it's that one, huh? Maybe those things that frustrate you, be it your spouse, your kids, or whatever, maybe they're too important. Maybe they're too important in our lives. Maybe we should be looking at it through Jesus' eyes. What gets you excited? That's what's number one in your life. That's what's the most important in your life. If somebody saw you watching a football game, or if somebody saw you at a baptism, which one would they say was more important to you? Which one were you more excited about? Another question. Are you more focused on the outside or the inside? Everything they do is for show. Matthew 23:5. Is what we do, is it for show? Or do we do it for the Lord? Or is it more like Colossians 3:23 and 24? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do stuff, that's what we should be doing it for. It shouldn't be so that, you know, somebody could see us doing it and give you praise. We need to be doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who cares what everybody else thinks? You know, Jesus was very loving to everybody except for one group. And he was always really hard on that group. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, those ones who thought they were good Christians. We don't want to be acting like good Christians. We want to be acting like the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to. When you go out to eat, do you pray just in case somebody else is watching? Do you tell others about your good deeds so that they can say, oh, wow, look at you? Matthew 6:1 says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to see their praise, for then you will not receive a reward from your Father who is in heaven. Do you raise your kids in a way that is good, that everybody likes? Or are you one of those biblical fanatics when you raise your kid? I think Jesus wants us to be one of those fanatics. Be like him. Does your life, does it reflect what you believe? When others see you, can they tell, wow, what do they have? I want what they have. How do we know about that? Well, the Bible in Proverbs says that when you are praised, how do you handle it? That's one way to tell. Another one is when you're going through trials and tribulations, how do you handle it? We want others to see us and go, man, I want what she has. Man, I want what he has. And then they come and say, what do you have? And then there is no better time to share the gospel. Because they have come with open hearts and saying, I want what you have. Can you please share that with me? Doors are wide open. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Actions do matter. But what is your heart attitude when you do those actions? We're supposed to be the representative of Jesus Christ. But what is your reason for being the representative of Jesus Christ? Is it to get praise here on earth? That's not what God wants. I thought this was a pretty funny statistic. You know, Americans, 98% of Americans believe that healthy eating matters. Okay? The number one, the most popular food at the fair is a bacon cheeseburger with a Krispy Kreme donut as a bun and chocolate bacon. If that's the most popular thing that sells at the fair, I'm thinking they're not thinking too much about healthy eating, are they? How do we live our lives, you know? If you have somebody come and house sit for you, and there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done, so you write them this detailed list. Man, this thing is like 5 pages long. All the detailed things, like, okay, you need to water the plants at such and such a time. The toilet downstairs is kind of finicky. When you flush it, you got to kind of jiggle the handle, otherwise it floods the basement. Make sure you clean the kitty litter, otherwise they'll, you don't want to know what they do, you know? You make this detailed list. This is what you got to do. And you thank this couple for coming and house-sitting for you. And say, if you do this stuff, man, that'd be awesome. We appreciate it. And you take and you go on vacation. You come back. There's kitty stuff everywhere. The basement's flooded. All the house plants are dead. Would you be happy with them? No. You go to them and say, hey, what in the world are you doing? We gave you this. What if their response was, oh, we read it every day. We even sat and discussed it with each other. You know what? We actually gathered some of our friends and stuff and came over. We even had a study on it to make sure that we were understanding it right. Some of us, that's how we do with the Word of God. It's not good enough to study the Word of God. He wants us to actually keep the house plants alive. He wants us not to flood the basement. Is your faith dying, but you're determined to keep the front? There's a movie that came out a couple years ago that was pretty good. It's called The Mask, Behind the Mask. And it was about this guy who was trying to live a good life, but his past was terrible, so he was wearing these masks because he was trying to live a good life. But then he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and set aside all of those masks. We don't need to wear a mask. Jesus has already done it for us. All we have to do is accept it from him. First John 2:15 and 16. Do you love the world or the things in the world? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the things of the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is all from the world. There was an interesting thing that, I don't know if somebody told it to me or if I read about it or what have you. This gal came out of the coffee shop with her big coffee mug, and the gal was racing in, bumped into her, spilled coffee all over the place. And the gal that was coming says, I'm so sorry for making you spill coffee. She goes, you didn't make me spill coffee. You made me spill. It just happened to be coffee. And they go, okay, how does that apply to us? There is guaranteed there will be things in your life that will make you spill. What spills out is entirely up to you. Your kids do not make you angry. Your kids make you spill. The anger automatically comes out of you. It's what's inside. Your spouse does not frustrate you and just, she knows how to push my buttons. No. There are things that she does that makes you spill. What spills out is what's inside you. If we have Jesus inside of us and Jesus spills out, or do we have the world inside of us and myself spills out? I can guarantee you there will be things in your life daily that will make you spill. There's nothing we can do about that. That's what Jesus said. In this life, you will have troubles. You will have trials. But what spills out? We do. We do have authority over that. So when somebody makes you spill, what would spill out of you? Is Jesus going to spill out of you? Is the world going to spill out of you? Is selfishness going to spill out of you? Jesus wants him to spill out of us. Wow. It's quite a tall day today, huh? If you try and do this on our own, we're not going to do it. Are you trying to do this on your own power? Or do you want help from the Holy Spirit to do it? There's a prayer that somebody told me, you know, and I prayed every morning. I says, Lord, thank you. I've done really well today. I haven't gotten angry at anybody. I haven't gotten mad. I've been a good person all day. But I'm getting out of bed right now, and I'm going to need a lot of help from then on. We don't want to try and do it on our own. Ask the good Lord for help. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil is a defeated foe. He has no power here. But he is the master of lies. Silver tongue. He whispers exactly the right thing into our ears. But if we trust in God, say, devil, you're defeated, foe, you have no power here. He has to flee from us. He is defeated. Don't try and follow Jesus in your own strength. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower us. That's the difference between religion and following Christ. In the Old Testament, it said God with us. We're in the New Testament. It says God in us. He is in us. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he sends you the Holy Spirit. Use him. He is there waiting. All you got to do is accept and ask. The only way that we can have the Holy Spirit run our lives is if we empty ourselves of us. We get in the way. We need to let us go away. Die to self. Live for Christ. Get rid of self. Holy Spirit, guide me. Show me. I can't do this on my own. We don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. You can go and find anyone that you say, oh man, that's a great Christian person. They live their lives just awesome. If you go and talk to them and they're truthful with you, they struggle just as you do. They struggle all the time. My favorite one is Paul. Man, what a Christian he was, right? Romans 7:15. Oh, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do the things I want to do, but I always do the things that I hate. That's what Paul wrote. You talk about a good, strong Christian guy, man. So if Paul struggled with it, why do I kick myself when I struggle with it? We all are going to have troubles in this life. Don't try and do it on your own strength. Don't try and follow Jesus by rules. If you follow Jesus by rules, well, we got to do this, we got to do that, you got to go to church Sunday morning, you got to X amount of, at least 10%, maybe more of tithes, you got to do this, you got to do that, you're going to falter because you're doing it in your own strength. Seek his kingdom first, and all these other things, they'll just happen. If you get Jesus right on the inside, the outside will automatically just fall into place. Follow the Holy Spirit. Don't do it on your own strength. Use him. If the inside is right, the outside will automatically follow. If you do the outside right, if you act right, the inside does not follow. We are just wearing a mask then. Then we're just like the Pharisees, putting on a good show. Rules, religion, it's all about do, do, do. Jesus died on the cross. It's by grace. It's done. Don't do the do. Do the done. Jesus freed us from religion. We are free. Why bind ourselves back up and try and do it with religion and do it by rules? What happens to you when somebody bumps you and makes you spill? Is Jesus number one in your life? Or is he the one and only in your life? Are you trying to do it on your own? Or are you asking the Holy Spirit to empower you and guide you? Are you living what you say you believe? It's a tall order today. Don't try and do it on your own. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to give you the counselor, give you the one to help you, the one who guides you. Don't do it in your own strength. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending us your one and only Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your great sacrifice. You paid our debts in full because we could not. But you didn't just leave us there. You went away so that the counselor could come. Holy Spirit, you live in us. Help us to listen to you. Help us to seek your power, your strength, and quit trying to do it on our own. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you for your growth. Help each of us through the sanctification process. We ask and say this in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. All right, a couple of announcements. As most of you have probably figured out by now, we're adding on to the church. We're making a little bit of a mess back there. The funds are starting to get low, so we need some help. Any of those who want to volunteer or anything, George Hanrahan, most of you know him, go seek him out and say, hey, we have different projects that we're trying to get done. George would love to direct you and guide, get groups together and stuff to get some of this stuff done. So we're starting to need some volunteer labor. Awana is starting up September 20th. We're short this year. We need some to come and listen. We need people to come and listen to the kids say Bible verses and help them through their Bible verses. And then at game time, you just try and keep them from climbing the walls and pay attention to the game leader. That's mostly what we need, is volunteers to come and listen and help the kids. I mean, let's get them while they're young. Let's get the Word of God into them while they're young so that they're old. They will not depart from it. So those are the two big things on the announcements. Y'all have a great day and a great week.